Lord, we just thank you this morning that you are the chain breaker, Lord. You are the one that can free us this morning, Lord, if we would put our trust and our faith in you as Lord and as Savior, Lord. Just allow us this morning to hear your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, as I've been going through and talking about grace the last couple of weeks, the Lord really put something on my heart that I really hadn't brought to that much attention, and really thinking, you know, through this and just the conviction of the Holy Spirit on my life. We're going to leave Galatians for a second, but we're not leaving grace. We're going to go to the book of Romans, and I have 5 and 6 here. I'm not going to read 5 and 6, but I want you, whenever you get home, to read all of Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And the name of this sermon is Grace, Freedom to Live, but Not a License to Sin. Because we can look at grace, like, oh man, Brother Jimmy's been preaching on grace, that we have grace, that we're not required, you know, to do things. You know, we do it because we want to, or we should desire to in our life. You know, that we don't have a checklist of things that we go by, but we look at that sometimes as we can go and do whatever we want to do. Grace is not the freedom to sin in our lives. It is the freedom from sin within our lives. And we look at that and think, God, how are you going to do that? How do these things work together? They work together because God is graceful. And God loves us, and God does more than just save us. He changes our hearts. And that's what grace does. It changes our hearts, and now we no longer have a desire to sin within our lives. So I asked you to do something last week. I know I just, you know, my brain kind of goes here, there, and yonder. I asked you to bring your Bible. Who brought their Bible? Who brought their Bible? There you go. Bring the Word with you. Bring the Bible with you. Let's open it up and let's read what God's Word says. We're going to go through a few different passages within chapter, or one in chapter 5, and then three in chapter 6. So I'm going to be skipping around a little bit, but let me read these first, and then we'll go back and we'll look at these. So Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 20. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 20. It's on page 1582 of my Bible. Tell me when you're there. You ready? You ready? Okay. Verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we have this first part, or the end of chapter 2, and we look at that and we think, man, that sounds good, man. I have grace because of sin. Grace abounded, and now I can sin. You know, I can do whatever I want. That's what we call in the Christian circles easy believism. That all you have to do is say a prayer and you're good. That's not true. I don't believe in the easy believism. But let's look in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 is our first one. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." And then we'll skip down to chapter or to verse 15. Now, when you get home, I want you to read all of these now. Verse 15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether a slave lending to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you were, though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves to righteousness." And then the last verse, verse 23, this is one that you should have memorized. This is one of the verses in the Roman road that we have in 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So grace is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible, would you say? I would say grace and mercy, but grace that we got something that we did not deserve. We got Jesus Christ. It means God gave us what we did not deserve, which was salvation, was forgiveness, and eternal life. He gave us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So grace is something that we can look at, and we should thank God, and it should transform us in a way that causes us to want and desire to follow after Him because of what He has done for us. But some might misunderstand grace. They think if God's grace covers all sins, then it doesn't matter how we live. I can sin and grace will cover it. And we have people that think that way. And they may not say it, but they demonstrate it through their actions. That's they say, "Well, you know, I'm covered with grace." Well, I'm saved. You know, this is a Southern thing, especially, you know, you get out, especially outside of the big cities within the South, and everyone knows Jesus. But I would tell you the difference is not everyone knows Jesus, everyone knows about Jesus. There is a big difference in our life of knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. And I've given this example quite often, and you've heard it from other people too. I know who LeBron James is, but I don't know LeBron James. There is a big difference. And there's so many people says, "Well, I know Jesus. I know who Jesus is. You know, I went to church as I was growing up, but you're living like the devil. You don't know Jesus." I heard a person today, or it was last night, I was listening to something, and a person says, asked the person, "Do you know Jesus?" And they asked the question, "Well, do you think Jesus would agree with that?" And they said, "No." Then the person asked them, "Well, why do you agree with that if you say you trust in Jesus?" And that's how we live our life. It's what's good for me is good for me. What I desire is what I want to do is all right with me. But we need to look beyond ourselves, and we need to look to the truth. And there's different people out in the world that will say, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I will tell you the only truth that we have that is true is God's Word." And that's what we need to live by in our lives. We need to look at God's Word, and we need to say, "God, what are you showing me in your Word?" Because His Word, His truth leads to everlasting life. This world's truth leads to destruction. leads to damnation and hell. You know, we need to make sure that we understand what truth is and that we are living under grace, but that grace has changed us. Paul answered what we were thinking in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, the King James Version says, God forbid. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? And that's what we need to look at in our life. How can we live in sin any longer whenever we've been delivered from that sin? So grace abounds. So go to the next slide, Anna. So grace abounds, not for sin to abound. So we need grace to abound in our life. Grace is what saves us. Sin is what keeps us in the shackles. And we sang that song, Chain Breaker. I tell you, grace is what's going to break them chains in our life. So grace needs to abound, but not for sin to abound. And we need to look at our lives and thinking, is sin abounding in my life? Am I living in sin and just thinking, well, God will forgive me? You know, and that's what a lot of people do, and we see it. You know, they'll say, well, why'd you do that? God will forgive me. Boy, that is a bad attitude to have toward God, isn't it? Man, that is taking God for granted for what He did on the cross of Calvary, that He gave His only Son, and He sacrificed for me and you for us to say, well, God will just forgive me. We should have the desire in our life to say God loves us, so we want grace to abound in our lives because of the sin that we had, but it's not so that we can sin. Paul says, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Yes, God's grace is greater than all sin. It is. God can forgive all sin, but grace does not give us a license to sin within our lives. No matter how deep the pit of sin that you are in, God's grace goes deeper than that. So there are people that fall into sin. You know, they have their lifestyle, they fall away from God, and they fall into sin. You know, and they just go deeper and deeper and deeper, because we know that an old analogy, sin will take us further than we want to go, make us pay more than we want to pay, and keep us longer than we want to stay. That's what sin does in our life. But God's grace is here to forgive us and bring us out of the depths of sin, not just forgive us of our sins. We need to be brought out. But notice why. It's that as sin hath reigned into death, even so might grace reign through righteousness into eternal life. Grace reigns to bring righteousness, not more sin. Grace lifts us out of sin, not leaves us dwelling in it. That's what grace does. It brings us out of the miry clay that we are in. And that's what sin does. It holds us down. Y'all ever been down in any of that mud down by the river, and you get down in that mud, boy, and you just can't get your feet out of that mud? That's what sin does. That old gray, nasty mud that gets a good suction on your boots, and a lot of times you just have to leave your boots there. That's what sin does. But what do we need to do? We need to leave our boots there, and we need to get out of sin. And we need to live for Christ and know that He has not saved us to live in sin. His grace is not abounding so we can stay in sin. It's so that we can get out of sin. So imagine a lifeguard saving someone from drowning. You know, the lifeguard pulls him out to life. not to throw them back into the water. That's what grace does. It rescues, not excuses. And that's what the woman at the well, you know, the woman that was caught in adultery, God did not excuse her sins. God gave her grace in her sins. He did not say, well, just keep going on sinning. You know, just go back to the same lifestyle that you were in. He forgave her. And then he did what? He said, go and sin no more. His grace was giving her a way out of that sin that she was in her life. And I love it whenever he says, he asks the woman, where is your accusers? Lord, I have none. Why? Because grace does not accuse us, it delivers us. And that's what we need to do in our life. We need to realize what God has done in His grace. So number two is death to sin, but alive in Christ. Paul asks, shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? And this is in 6:1-4. When we believe in Christ, we are united with Him in His death and His resurrection. Baptism is a picture of that. Buried with Him and raised in newness of life. So don't take this passage as meaning that baptism saves you. Baptism is an outward experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit inside of us. What He did for us on the inside. But we show it in the water. That we bury ourselves. That sin is buried. That sin stays in the grave. That sin no longer comes back to haunt us. We can go back and we can dig it back up and put it back on. Folks, but Jesus delivered you from that. And He's asking you in this passage, why would you ever want to go back? If we were dead to sin, how can we live in it any more? You don't go back to live in a grave once you have been raised. And I love, boy, you know, Jesus, we celebrate at Easter. We celebrate our resurrected Lord. I tell you, our Lord did not go back in that grave and lay down and die again and say, you know, hey, I raised, but I went and I died again. No, He raised once and for all, and He ascended to heaven, and He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you, because we are sinners. And He says, God, these are my children. God, that I know, they know me, they have put their trust in me, and He gives us grace. Man, I am so happy for grace. But grace should not leave us in the depths of our sin. So grace means a new life, a fresh start, a clean walk with Jesus. And that's what we need to look at. What is our life looking at? Have we had a new start? Have we left that sin in the grave? Or do we like to go back and tinker with it a little bit? Go back and mess with that, digging up that dead body that has died. And Jesus says, leave it there. I've delivered you from that. So you no longer have to live in that lifestyle of sin in your life, that you can have freedom in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. Number three in chapter 6, verses 15 through 18 is slaves of righteousness, not of sin. Paul asks again, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Or as the King James, I love the way the King James says this because it seems to be more just right in your face. Certainly not, or God forbid. That you would ever want and desire to go back in that way again. Before Christ, sin was our master. and it was a master of our life. What it did, it controlled everything that we'd done. Sin ruled our lives from the moment we woke up to the moment we went to sleep at night. Sin had control of us, but now grace changed who we serve. We serve a new master, no longer the master of this world, but we serve the master of heaven, the master who gave his life for us on the cross. We serve him. So now we are no longer a slave to sin. We are a slave to righteousness. Bring them, or being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And that's what we should desire and want in our life, because that old person has been buried. Grace doesn't leave us free floating. It gives us a new allegiance in our life. We no longer have allegiance to sin, but we have allegiance to Christ. That we're going to serve Him. We're going to follow Him. We're going to do the things that He asks us to do in His Word. We're going to do these things because He gave Himself for us. Because He loves us. From slaves of sin to servants of God, from disobedience to obedience from the heart. And it all comes down to a heart matter. Because our brains do not change like our heart does. When God changes our heart, and I'm not talking about the... Well, I guess it's on this side. It's the innermost being of who we are. He changes that. And whenever He changes that, then it goes to our minds, and our mind starts thinking different because our hearts and our desires are different. Our biggest problem is our life. In our life is about what they say about 18 inches from our heart to our brain. That's where our biggest problem is. I thought, man, my feet, my ankles, my legs all hurt. You know, I thought that was the biggest problem in my life, but it's not. It's my heart. God's Word tells us that our heart is wicked in all ways until God changes it. And that's what we should want. You know, the application is true grace shows us how we live. We shall love sin more. If we love sin more than God, we haven't understood grace yet. If we love sin more than we love God, we do not understand grace. Are we understanding what grace has done for us? Folks, He has delivered us. Do you know what was happening to you before God's grace was sent to you on the cross? You were headed to hell. You were headed to damnation. You were headed to the pits. Folks, you had no hope in your life until Christ came and gave His life for you and for me. We had no hope. And now, folks, because of His grace, I have hope. And it's not a hope as, well, I wish we win tonight. It's not that kind of hope. It's a hope that it's a hopeful expectation that I know I'm putting all my eggs. Look at that. See, I got that. I seen India brought in some eggs this morning. I'm putting all my eggs in that one carton, in that one basket. I don't have a plan B. I don't have anything that I'm going to fall back on for my salvation. It is only through the grace of Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. So why would I receive that and taste grace and ever go back to live in sin? And number four, you know, the wages of sin versus the gift of God. And this is all about grace in Romans 6:23. You know, and this, like we said, this is something that we should know by heart, that we should have memorized, you know, from a child. You know, in part of the Romans Road, whenever you're witnessing to someone, this is the first place that you go. You know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin still pays wages. Grace doesn't cancel sin's consequences. It saves us from them. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Ooh, this Christians think, man, I got saved. Man, I can sin. And I can just ask for forgiveness. You know there's still consequences to your sins here on this earth? You still have consequences. You know, you go out and you do something crazy, you know, that is against the law, against God. You go out and you steal and you say, well, God will forgive me. Yes, God will forgive you, but I guess what? You also are going to jail because you have consequences for your sins here on this earth. Man, we have to realize that God did not save us from them consequences here on this earth. He saved us from the consequences in hell. Now we get to go be with Him in heaven. But I want to ask the question is, if we believe in grace, why do we continue in sin? What does God's Word say? God forbid, or may it not be so, you know, or God, you know, just say, what are you thinking? Are you a knucklehead or what? That's in how we think, ain't it? You must be a knucklehead if you're thinking that way. Man, let's get back into our life of living for Christ and not living in this world. So if you have been transformed, you should be living in grace. Grace is not prepayment, but a gift. Eternal life through Christ alone. Grace isn't a license to sin. It's the power of God giving us a new life. So live in that new life. And that's what a lot of people, they still want to live in the old life, but they want grace. You can't have both. You either live in the life that Christ has given you, or you live in the way that the devil, the world, wants you to live. You can't have both of these things. If you continue in that lifestyle, guess what you never receive? True grace. And I'm not a person that believes you can lose your salvation. I believe you never had it in the first place. Because if you receive God's grace, it's going to change your heart and you're going to be different than who you once were. You're going to have a new life. Does that mean, Brother Jimmy, that you're going to never mess up? No. But whenever you mess up, you're going to think, Lord, forgive me. What was I thinking? It kind of goes with what we were looking at Sunday night whenever we were looking at talking about the Lord's Supper. And we had a great crowd for the Lord's Supper, you know, last Sunday night. But whenever we was thinking about it, you know, say if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. If we look at our own lives and we look at the sin in our own lives and we look seriously at our own lives and look at what the truth of God's Word is, we can ask for forgiveness. Sometimes we don't even think it's a sin to do certain things. Because that's what the world has told us today. It's become socially acceptable to do certain things in our world today, and we don't look at it as sin, but God's Word still calls it sin. And guess what never changes? God's Word. Guess what the standard is? God's Word. Guess what you will be judged by? God's Word. You can't say, but Lord, the things of this society and the things of this world, them things, you know, say it's all right, Lord. So I'm all right, ain't I? He says, what does my Word say? So we need to receive His grace and we need to live in that grace. So what does Romans 5 and 6 teach us here in conclusion? Grace is stronger than sin. But it's not to let sin continue in our life. Grace makes us dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Death changes our master from sin to righteousness. And grace is the gift of eternal life, not the wages of death. And that's what death does to us. We get something for sin, it's death. So grace doesn't give us permission to sin. It gives us the power to live free. It gives us the power to have boldness within our life. God doesn't give us the permission to sin. So let's walk in freedom today. Let's take or thank God that His grace only saves us, but also transforms us. So I want us to be transformed in our lives, not just, well, I said a prayer and I got saved. If we're a Christian, we should be doing what? Bearing fruit. We should have evidence in our life, and the only evidence that you're going, or the only way that you're going to have evidence in your life, if you have a changed heart. Because we can try for so long. We can do good for so long, but I know that I'm going to fail because I am not good. But I'm living in God's grace. And it does not give me a right and a license to sin. So this morning, as we look at this, you know, we have a freedom to live in Christ, not a sin, not a license to sin in this world. So as we look at Galatians and Paul talking to, you know, us from the book of Galatians, and we looking at, you know, that he's saying, you know, that we are saved, we're not in bondage, that we are free this morning, but it is not free to sin, it's a free to live. So are you living this morning? I can't remember who says, you know, get busy living. Let's get busy living in our lives and not dying. Let's get busy living, and I'm not talking physically, I'm talking about spiritually in our life, and it's going to be transformed into our living hope that we have. Because God desires to do something in you today. So I would say today, give your life over to Jesus. You may have been saved years ago and you've fallen into sin, and you need to come back to the Lord. He is sitting there with open arms this morning. And He desires you, and He will forgive you. And there is enough grace that He has given that can forgive you today. But He wants you to come to Him and surrender all and give Him your life. So what are you going to do with Jesus today? He's speaking to your heart. He's speaking to you. So as we have a time of invitation, and as He is drawing you today, let Him do something in your life. I would say yes to Jesus and no to this world. Say yes to Jesus and no to this world. As we all stand this morning, Lord, we just come before You just thanking You for all that You have given us, Lord. Lord, thank You for Your grace. But let us realize that Your grace is not a freedom to sin, but it's a freedom to live in You, Lord. Lord, give us what we need. Convict our hearts, Lord. Draw us to You. In Your Son, Jesus' name, amen.